WOR.
8:05 on a rainy Friday morning. Hope everyone's having a good one. Looking forward to the weekend. How you guys doing? Michael, Joey, you guys in fine fettle. You're on the edgiest seats. You just can't wait for this Mueller thing. It's just the tension is just unbearable.
I can't wait to hear your response.
Exactly.
To it.
That's what I'm
That's
looking
what I
forward
want.
To.
I can't wait to hear my response either. I can't wait to hear what it is. Our big three stories, as Joe Bartlett has been saying, Washington abuzz. The Mueller report could be coming out any minute, and the word of the day, kids, is nematode. That's what AOC calls everyone's favorite president. Also in the big three, good luck with that presidential run for Bill de Blasio. A new poll is out where he ranks among New Yorkers in the poll as far as favorability of running for president. How do you think he did?
Does he even register?
And this bothered Joe when I said he gets into it with the housing lady. Why did that bother you? He did.
Housing lady.
That's her name.
Lady,
I mean, that's
disrespectful.
It's not disrespectful.
She's a regional director of HUD.
All right, Lynn
Patton. Isn't that a lady?
Well, I could have called her if it was a gentleman, he'd be the housing guy.
You would not. Well, no, you probably would have said that.
I would have said housing guy.
You would have. No, Lynn would have said housing guy.
Yeah.
You know, he'd like.
Lynn Patton. All right, where do you hear this stuff?
The Secretary of State dude.
Yeah. And rounding out the big three, this is awful. The treasurer of a charity that helps the families of fallen NYPD officers, she is charged with stealing over $400,000 for her personal use. If it's true, just lock her up and throw away the key.
Yeah, that's,
that's as bad as it gets. That's
awful woman.
Let me tie up a couple of loose ends. You were talking about Stacey Abrams. She delivered the State of the Union rebuttal, and we said, well, who did the other one and the year before? And
Bobby Joe Jingle.
Bobby Joe Jingle. What's his name? Jindal. Not Jingle.
I don't think it's Bobby Joe. It's Bobby Jindal.
Well, it's like Bobby one of those Jindal. Southern names.
Bobby Joe Jingle.
Bobby Joe Jingle.
But he's from Jindal. Louisiana.
I know. Yeah. That's right. Same thing. Yeah.
But that was the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Jindal. No, but the other one, you mentioned the guy. See, speaking of being specific, the guy who was drinking all the water. So we got a tweet from someone to say that was Marco Rubio.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, it was Marco Rubio.
Yeah. And, sure.
Oh,
now
was,
you know.
Yeah. I thought it was Bobby Joe.
If you're told. And then this is interesting. We were talking about this. This is just unbelievable. That if the guy doesn't show up early at Dunkin' Donuts in Hamilton, New Jersey, the train station for New Jersey Transit doesn't get opened. It's the responsibility of the guy making the donuts. And the other day he was late, so those passengers couldn't get on the train station, which is beyond belief. Well, Robert emails me. He says the guy that runs the coffee shop in the station is in charge in Darien, Connecticut as well.
See?
Huh. Really?
So I guess this must be more common than I ever imagined.
Well, if you give the vendor the opportunity to sell their stuff there, just open a door. Otherwise, you're going to have to employ somebody to go around opening doors.
But it should be the New Jersey Transit Authority or the whatever train goes to
Darien, Connecticut.
You
don't think there should be an official in the stations?
They should be in charge of that.
If something goes wrong, if there's a problem,
Dunkin' Donuts guy
can't solve the problems of the
or Bobby
transit
Joe
in the
Jingle up at Darien at the coffee shop.
Hey, we're trying to save money. Come on.
Oh, my God. Okay. I guess you see that, like in Amsterdam, the guy who runs the sex shop. Yeah, if he doesn't show up early, you know, the trains don't run. I mean, really? That's
now, why don't we get to the red light district of Amsterdam?
I'm trying to follow the
that's
twists and turns of the Burman mind.
Yeah, because that's where you see the guy runs a donut shop.
So what? Do you want to put sex shops into
I just
why Amsterdam came up?
Yeah,
I don't
Amsterdam
know. Just came off the top of my head.
Jeez.
I tell you. So did you see this poll in the Post?
Yes, I love this
poll. You have it in front of you?
Yeah, I do. All right, so de Blasio. Now, this is a poll of New Yorkers.
This is New Yorkers.
New Yorkers.
We're talking about the presidential candidates. Favorable or unfavorable as chosen by the Quinnipiac poll.
All right.
Or Quinnipiac. I got some email from someone.
Here's
anyone pronounce that correctly?
It's Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac.
Yeah.
Quinnipiac.
Not the way you said it.
Not the way I said it.
How do you pronounce it? Amsterdam?
I pronounce it Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac.
Bobby Joe Jingle.
All right. Pull yourselves together, gentlemen.
You called it Quinnipiac.
Whatever it is. Okay, so pick on me. like every time you flub a word, do I pick on you?
Yes,
you
absolutely do.
Not this morning. I was tempted this morning, but
what did he flub?
He flubbed a couple of things on the when we had our mics open. But I behaved. I don't pick on you every time he flubs.
Speaking of flubbers,
okay.
De Blasio is the biggest flubber. So in a poll of New Yorkers, his favorable rating is 24%. His unfavorable rating is 49%.
And that that's ranks the worst number one.
Number one amongst, unfavorable amongst all the
amongst
other.
Amongst all the unfavorable, he's the most unfavorable.
He's the most unfavorable. So Joe Biden, he's got 62% favorable, unfavorable 24%.
Right.
Bernie Sanders, 51% like him, 38% don't. Cory Booker, God, what a joke, 31% like him, 28% don't.
Well, they're kind of like, there's not much there.
Kamala Harris, 27% like her, 25% don't. Beto O'Rourke, the new RFK, 21% like him, 22% don't. He's got a higher unfavorable than he does.
That's yeah, but he has a very low.
That's because he's got the, he's like the white privilege candidate, so no, all the hardcore like, lefties hate him.
People like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and Beto O'Rourke and Amy Klobuchar, they don't have enough on either side to, you know, in other words, their total is maybe 50% of plus or minus. Where
New Yorkers a guy don't like know Biden, who they are either.
Biden is 90% of the people yeah. have an opinion about yeah, Biden right. one way or the other, but like 29% have an opinion about Amy Klobuchar. That's the difference.
Well, how about Kirsten Gillibrand, our senator?
A senator from New York.
Favorable 29%, unfavorable 35%. And Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, favorable 31%, unfavorable 38%.
Yeah.
She's kind of an unlikable person, I have to say, Elizabeth
Very
Warren.
Unlikable.
Got that school marmy quality, like she's going to lecture you to death.
So the ones with the big positives are Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders amongst New Yorkers.
As to be expected, yeah. I would think.
But to, for the mayor, now the mayor says he's going to announce soon. So what comes out first, Joe? Will it be the mayor announcing or the Mueller report?
Mueller report.
Very good. Anyway,
I don't see any way De Blasio can run.
Well, but he's so arrogant.
Joke and embarrassing.
I know, but he's so arrogant. I think he thinks he could probably win. He is unbelievably arrogant. I know from friends of mine who are reporters who cover him, they've never seen a guy this arrogant before. Totally. And mayors have, you know, Rudy had a big ego and certainly Koch, but those guys had something about them that was likable or at least competent. This guy has nothing. De Blasio is absolutely nothing. He is a total loser.
Well, you're going to get some agreement from the housing lady. her name is Lynn Patton. Oh, now all of a sudden Natalie wakes up. It's a little joke, Natalie. Don't take everything so seriously. God.
The housing chick.
The housing chick.
Is there a reason you have to do that? You want to annoy me on a Friday?
The housing babe. The housing broad. Which one do you want?
Oh, pick. Don't even.
Just pick one. Lynn Patton's her name. She's the one who slept in NYCHA housing for several days.
Mm-hmm.
She did you see the interview she did with Marsha Kramer last night on Channel 2? So here was Lynn Patton.
One of the units that I stayed in Brooklyn had a leaky basement, yet NYCHA thought that was the perfect place to store about 40 brand new doors that had not even been used. Those doors were destroyed.
All right, she went on.
There are far too many people at NYCHA wearing button-up white shirts and not enough wearing button-down coveralls. This is going to change, and the mayor needs to get on board or get out.
How would you change it?
Heads will roll.
The mayor has to get on board or get out. How about that?
Should criminal charges be pursued?
I personally think they should.
Because?
Deception and fraud. Blatant deception and fraud.
On the part of who?
They had literally a cheat sheet of how to pass a physical inspection from HUD. You know, paint cardboard. From a distance, it looks like tile. These are crimes.
Wow.
She's tough.
Get on board or get out. For this was some interview that Marsha Kramer had. I'm telling you.
She's some lady there, Len.
Yeah, Len. Some
the
lady.
Housing lady. and the news reporter lady asked some tough questions.
You know what? You got to stop this right now. I'm going to make you stop. No. Zip that one up.
And by the way, I think you're disrespectful because she's a friend of President Trump.
Yeah, that's why. Well, that's why you're diminishing.
Nothing. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm not being disrespectful. I take it all back. I'm not being disrespectful. I really am not. I thought that was a terrific interview. But listen, did you hear what De Blasio said? Now, Marsha Kramer, to her credit, then goes and asks De Blasio about what Lynn Patton had said. And De Blasio says,
everything she is saying is false. Let's make it simple. False, false, false. You can quote me, Marsha. Keyword false.
So what's false? You know, she observed these things. She observed the leaky basement with the doors there.
Even if she wasn't there, we all know it doesn't work.
Exactly.
The system doesn't work. I mean, we can't say people are happy to live there.
No way.
Or we've safe.
We've had one scandal after another, and this cluck mayor of ours has done nothing.
Listen to this Lynn Patton soundbite one more time.
There are far too many people at NYCHA wearing button-up white shirts and not enough wearing button-down coveralls. This is going to change. And the mayor needs to get on board or get out.
How would you change it?
Heads will roll.
How about that? get on board.
Let's hope one of those heads is, let's hope one of those heads is de Blasio's.
Is that something?
Yeah.
That's some strong stuff. So kudos to Marcia Kramer for a terrific interview with Lynn Patton.
Who is the
HUD
secretary.
What is something. She? She's the HUD something.
Come on, what is she like?
She's the housing lady.
Sorry, Natalie, I couldn't resist.
Oh, boy.
You are just as bad, Michael.
No, no.
Because you know how to get him in trouble.
He's teeing me up. He's like the kid in school who says, hey, throw a spitball at the teacher.
I know.
That's a great idea.
No.
I have a kid in middle school. I know how boys work.
I'm not like that at all.
Coming up next, is it Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan, part two? We have the big intrigue in figure skating. Wait to hear about this. Plus, Mark Simone's coming up at 10 right here on 710 WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. A couple of, some chilling stories here. First, you want to do the figure skater story there, Lynn?
Yeah, let's do the figure skater. But you're right about the chilling stories. There's just no question. But this figure skating thing is getting a lot of attention because people are saying, okay, here's Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan all over again.
Yep.
This happened at the World Figure Skating Championships in Japan, and the star skater for the U.S., Mariah Bell, was skating at the end of her routine, and her skate comes up as she's making a move, as she's skating,
right,
and eclipses her South Korean rival, Lim Yoon-soo, and everyone at the time, or at least the people who represent the Korean skater, thought this was intentional. She suddenly kicked her with one of her skate blades. She didn't apologize. Hmm. It all appeared to be premeditated, and everyone else is debunking it. We've got the video. We'll have it up shortly on our website, 710.
I saw the video. It doesn't look like she's doing it deliberately. It's just like, you know, she
skated by.
Skated by, yeah, exactly.
710WR.com/Lennon Michael. Check it out, because the Koreans are making a big deal out of it, but apparently they had a meeting with everybody, and she didn't apologize because the music was just starting. And first of all, I don't know if she even knew she did it.
Mm.
But then the music was just starting, so she couldn't interrupt the routine. But they are going to forward the apology over to the other skater. But this is a well-known skater and commentator, Adam Rippon.
In no way, shape, or form do I think this is intentional.
He says he's never seen anyone bullying anybody. He says, stop creating this S and stop spreading rumors. What happened in the warm-up was purely an accident. Don't distract either of the skaters from competition. He says this article is completely clickbait. So, I don't know. It's kind of being debunked.
What they're saying is that social media has really created this controversy, that this kind of happens all the time. You have to see when they do the practices. There's like 6, 7, yeah, 8 skaters,
yeah,
at one time.
Around.
They're flipping around. They're jumping. They're all on top of each other. I can imagine there's not collisions. Hmm. And social media has taken this and has created more to the story.
Well,
which, of course, is now, like you said, creating distraction.
Yeah, well, I saw the first article in the Daily News and said she's accused of intentionally, and Tonya Harding all over again. And
did you cover Tonya Harding and Nancy
not
Drew?
Not up close and personal.
No,
Nancy Drew.
I was at a dinner with Nancy. I was at a dinner once where Nancy Kerrigan was honored, but I never met Tonya Harding.
Yeah, but you were covering sports when that
I was covering sports
unfolded.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
But that was a chick sport, so he probably didn't talk about it.
Yeah, lady sport.
I can't believe the way Natalie just demeans women all the time. It's not right, Natalie. Just because you're an accomplished woman doesn't mean you have to put down other women.
All right, here's the chilling story, literally chilling. They're finding more and more bodies on Mount Everest. All right, more than 200 people have died on the mountain since 1922. And climbers go up there, and they do find bodies from time to time that are really not decomposed because they freeze. But they're finding now more and more bodies every time people climb.
How many bodies?
Well, there are
over
200 have died up there, so there are a lot of bodies up there.
And not all
the bodies are down. That's right. But they're finding more and more now because of climate change.
Oh, I thought there was no such thing as climate change.
I'm not a climate change denier. The ice is melting, and it's exposing more and more bodies.
Wow.
So, and I'm actually looking.
That's kind of freaky.
It really is. Can you imagine climbing and you stumble on some Sherpa from 1912? I'm looking at some of the body pictures, though. There's one guy, and it's probably the most famous body picture. He actually froze to death sitting up with his hands on his knees.
Jeez.
David Sharp, his name was. But more and more body. You know how much money it costs to bring a body down from Mount Everest?
No idea.
$30,000. To get a body back.
Really?
Yeah, to be buried.
It's amazing to me that these bodies have just been there like forever.
Well, if you climb up, you're not going to be able to take the body with you.
Wow.
Somebody dies, you just leave them there.
Do we have, and I'm not putting you on the spot, do we know how many people in history have died trying to climb
this mountain? More than 200 people.
Oh, so that's the number.
That's the number, yeah.
Okay.
More than 200 people have died since 1922
yeah.
climbing Mount Everest.
Wow.
And they're finding more and more bodies because some of the ice wow. is melting. Some of these
that's
pictures
amazing.
Are. Ooh, that's a bad one. Ooh.
Stop. You give right. me the creeps.
What's kind of interesting, though, is you can sort of tell around the year they were killed or they died because
what they're wearing.
What they're wearing, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
You see everything?
Yeah. You can see their snowsuits.
And if they're still their holding boots. Their iPhone, you know it's not from the 1940s.
Yes, that's right.
Quick study
right.
there. Yeah.
Very strange. So, yeah. Quick one for you. This is interesting if you like science.
AOC loves science.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. A mind-blowing haul of fossils has been discovered in China. And what's fascinating about all these fossils is apparently it's right at the time that the diversity of life was just exploding because of evolution. So they found these very well-preserved fossils of jellyfish, sponges, algae, worms, Burmans, arthropods.
Burmans?
All these,
what?
I'm kidding. All these sorts of things.
Oh, wait a second. What do you mean? What's diversity of life? Now you're losing me.
No, because as evolution kicked into gear, there was so much diversity that was being created, and it happened to be around this area in China. And they found these fossils. I mean, their gills are preserved, the antennae are preserved, and there's just this wealth of diversity of life in these fossils more than half a billion years ago.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Okay.
All right, let's get the news at 8:30 from Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Michael. The Mueller report could drop at any moment, and the word from ABC White House correspondent Jonathan Carl is there will not be any more indictments. And the report will not criticize anyone not criminally charged. What's left? President Trump says...
breadcrumbs. Lots and lots of breadcrumbs.
President Trump telling Fox Business he's still upset that the Mueller investigation was begun in the first place.
Think of it. I have a deputy appoints a man to write a report on me to make a determination on my presidency. People will not stand for it.
He complains they couldn't find any collusion, so his critics started talking about obstruction, and he says it's all a big hoax. Boeing reportedly will now mandate cockpit warning lights that have been optional when it upgrades the software on those 737 MAX jets. Sources say the warning light could have alerted pilots to problems that are suspected in those two recent crashes. State lawmakers in New Jersey are going to vote next week to legalize recreational marijuana, but right now Governor Murphy says he doesn't have the votes to get it passed.
We are close. We're not there yet. We're making progress, but we have a ways to go.
Vote is going to come Monday, one way or the other. Speaking of drugs, fentanyl deaths in the U.S. have increased by 1,000% from 2011 to 2016. That's a conclusion of a new report from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. It shows fentanyl-related deaths were around 1,600 in 2011, more than 18,000 in 2016. They studied the disparity among deaths, too, finding that men die from the drug at three times the rate of women, especially those between the ages of 15 and 34. And based on these findings, believe it or not, Americans are now more likely to die from a drug overdose than from a car accident.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
MTA has added a new subway announcement about etiquette. It's reminding riders to wear headphones when listening to music. Officials say they created a new message after seeing an increase in noise complaints. Riders were listening to music through the speakers and playing loud video games.
So it'll just be another noisy announcement.
Headphones.
That'll just add to the noise.
All right, Michael, where's your coffee mug? Do you have it there?
I do.
All right, listen to this story.
Yes.
They want to put it down. One in five office mugs may contain fecal material.
Oh, man. Have you been...
Okay. Stop.
You know where he fills his water up with that
I know
cup.
He does. That's why.
This is a study from Total Jobs. It says these mugs are germ-filled because at least 25% of people don't wash their hands after using the bathroom.
No.
Also,
how about when you fill the cup up in the bathroom?
Oh,
so
geez.
It's his own.
No.
He does. There's some water there in the bathroom.
That's where he does.
We have a water cooler in the kitchen.
You do that?
Well, I go to sometimes I don't have time to get all the way to the kitchen, so I just fill it up in
the
bathroom.
So what is that? The fecal matter comes from his own hands? Is that don't shake hands with me.
I wash my hands after I go to the bathroom.
Oh, my God. This guy's disgusting.
How about this, though? If you eat at your desk, you're more likely to get sick because the average office desk has 400 times more bacteria than a toilet seat.
Yeah.
So just imagine going into the toilet, sitting down, and have your lunch.
Oh, I've done that.
Not Excellent.
He likes to eat on the throne.
Eat and runs.
Do people really eat in the bathroom?
I don't even like bringing anything in near
it. I don't eat in the bathroom. It's in the bathroom.
Joe, where do you get this stuff? I don't know. Maybe people do.
This from Culinary Arts Magazine? What is this?
Total Jobs. It's
worth Total Jobs. Total Jobs. Oh,
all
my
right.
God.
All right. Thank you, Joe Bartlett. Hey, when we come back.
Yeah, that was really great.
It's Open Phones Friday.
Open 1-800- Phones.
1-800-321-0710. What is on your mind? Are you as sick of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as we are?
Yeah, science was my first passion.
Oh, God. What do you think is going to be in the Mueller report? Should de Blasio run for president?
Anything.
Anything you want to talk about. 1-800-321-0710.
The phones are open. We call it Open Phones Friday. Talk about anything you want. It could be in the political world, Trump, de Blasio, AOC, whatever you want to talk about.
Make fun of us if you want to.
You can. Well, some of our listeners like to. For example, got a tweet from Lisa. By the way, our number is 800-321-0710. We were talking about the Quinnipiac poll, and I always mispronounce Quinnipiac. It's Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac.
Well, anyway, Lisa writes, I'm a 02 graduate of Quinnipiac, and my alums and I all pronounce it like Len does.
Really?
How about that? So it's Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac. She says, footnote, this is the only time I ever agree with Len. Okay, well, that's one time. Well, do you think this is a nice? See, this is a nice. We got another email. This is a tweet to our Twitter handle at the show, at LenMichaelWR. Guy by the name of NYC Big Brother. This is a nice. Says, get rid of that annoying pinhead Michael Riedel. You know, that's
pinhead.
Just not. That's not nice calling you a pinhead.
You guys think I'm a pinhead? Hello?
Natalie's too busy screening calls.
Lou and Anthony are waffling in with their hand
in
the air.
They're going, well.
Pinhead? Oh, that's not nice.
Jim, here in the city, you're first up on Open Phones Friday. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, so the Mueller report will be mentioning seven different billionaires. They're called oligarchs, which is a way for saying evil billionaires. So these seven billionaires are very suspicious. I've researched all of them. They're Russian and Ukrainian, but they mysteriously have Israeli passports, and they own a lot of property in Israel. These Russian.
So what do you get to the bottom line? Jim, what are you saying? What's your bottom line here?
Well, I don't know if Putin was behind. I think that there was an operation going on in Russia that Putin wasn't even aware of. It was being conducted by Jewish billionaires. All these billionaires are Jews.
Jewish.
Jews.
Jim.
It's the Jews.
Bye-bye now, Jim.
That's it.
Have a nice day.
See you, Representative Omar. All right, let's go to Chad in New York, New York. Good morning, Chad.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thanks, Chad.
So much better than the first iteration. That guy was hard, whatever it was. Anyways, the point is, Kristen Gillibrand is unpopular. She's not brave. She was handed a Senate seat.
Yeah, exactly.
And de Blasio, he's elected to do a job, and he's in New Hampshire or wherever else he is, or sleeping,
yep.
You know, half the time.
Napping.
Get the job done you're supposed to do. And I think people don't like politicians when they say they run for Senate or governor, and then a year later they're trying to run for president. Get the job done you're elected to do, and then move on to the next thing.
Yep, absolutely.
All right,
couldn't agree with you more, Chad.
All right, thanks. Absolutely. How about John on Staten Island? What's your subject du jour?
Hey, good morning. How are you, Len and Mike?
Good morning.
Just wanted to find out about the college, scheming and everything. How come they're only announcing the celebrities involved? How come they're not, blowing up everyone that's
involved?
They did.
Involved? No. Well, it's easy to talk about the celebrities because they're well known. No, they put out the entire list. One was a prominent lawyer in New York. Many were hedge fund and financial people. He's just not aware of them. So it's an easy thing for media to just focus on the actresses. But no, all the names have been published. They have.
And one other thing, you think this is going to blow up into something gigantic, or you think this is just going to be, another, 1 year of news and then it's gone?
No, you're talking about the college scandal?
Down the rabbit hole.
No, I think there'll be other stories that come out.
Oh, yeah. No, I think there are more. This guy helped more kids, bribe more people.
And also there may be other people who have pulled these schemes. I think this may be the tip of the iceberg.
Will it affect anyone, that already graduated and has a job in the city and they go back and find me? Because they do it with, they seem to be going back as far as when you're in college and high school.
Well, that's interesting.
So you think it could actually go that far?
If you go back in time.
If you got in under a cloud, yeah.
Yeah, retro punishment. Interesting question, John. I'm not sure how we'll flesh out.
Hey, let's go to Gregory in New York, New York. Good morning, Gregory.
Yes. Hello, everybody. My first time calling. I love the show.
Oh, thanks.
I'm an ex-Democrat because the Democrats have become anarchists.
And I can no longer certainly be part of that whole insanity.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention also that with the idea of McCain, Donald Trump is not insulting the heroes of this world that are actually making choices in the face of danger. So when people like 9/11 victims of the 9/11 disaster, they're victims. They were attacked without them. They didn't realize it, and they were suddenly in danger, and they tried to survive. Many of them didn't, and they were victims, not heroes. And Trump is trying to say indirectly that if you're a prisoner, you're not making a choice in danger. You were captured, and he says it as he's obviously angry at the man. He's trying to put him down a little bit, and he says, look, I don't think prisoners are necessarily heroes. So he's trying to make a difference there. I think it's a correct point. And many presidents act very presidential, but this president is trying to get something done. The others have a nice image, but they just sold the country down the drain. And he's very transparent, and he's speaking his mind, and he's rolling up his sleeves, really, truly, not like Obama, who always liked to be seen with his shirt sleeves rolled up and with his feet on the desk. He's actually rolling up his sleeves, Donald Trump, and he's getting something done.
Okay, I understand, Greg, because that's the typical argument. But I understand that point of view. I do think, though, it's a cheap shot when you say I prefer my heroes that aren't captured. That's just not fair. I don't think John McCain wanted to be captured.
Hey, I got Betty on Smithtown, New York. She's got something to say about the Hudson Yards. Hi, Betty.
Hi, dear. I do have something to say about it. We were down there on March 17th, and I was remarkably disappointed.
Really?
Why?
Because the high-end restaurants were all closed for lunch. They didn't open until 5, if they were going to be open. I don't know. Two of the escalators were broken. The amount of people there was incredible that I can truly understand why the fire department is concerned that there's no firehouse to service that area of Manhattan. Hmm. It seemed like a lot of people that we saw walking around, and I'm a New York City girl, so I claustrophobia is not, this is enclosed. There's no real windows or anything to look out at, mm-hmm. which is one of the complaints about Michael and Monaco's restaurant, that there are no views. Central Park has the views, Columbus Circle. But the people, we all wound up at the Skylight Diner on 34th Street.
Betty, very interesting. I guess they got some kinks to iron out.
Absolutely.
That's a good call. Thanks, Betty. Yeah,
thank you,
listening.
Betty. Thanks for
How about Don in Huntington Station? Hey, Don, what's up? What do you want to talk about?
Good morning, Len and Pinhead.
Just call me Pinhead.
Pinhead. That's the new name of the show.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks,
all right, I like you anyhow.
Okay.
But seriously, I think the problem with Mr. Trump is he's a very stupid man who thinks he's smart. And the fact that he is president is a mere quirk in history. And I think that he is not only a pathological liar, but he's a racist and a proven criminal. And I don't care what the Mueller report says. I think he should be impeached and hauled out of the White House in handcuffs.
Don, I have to say, Len is nodding his head after everything you just said. Everything you just said. Got
thanks.
A nod
well,
from Len.
Well, I don't think he should be taken. Thanks, Don. I don't think he should be taken out in handcuffs. I do think, hey, he wouldn't let us see his transcripts. I think he's one of these people who isn't as rich as he says he is and isn't as smart as he thinks he is. That's all. I know other people like that. He's not the first one.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the real estate business where he had to make up stories, and I get it.
Whoop-de-doo.
All right, coming up next, we've got Michael Riedel's Broadway Scoop and David Letterman Talks. It's all coming up next on 710 WOR. And Michael Riedel will now talk about the Broadway Channel as he desperately looks for the copy that's sitting on his desk.
That's right.
Now he's found it, and now he's ready to go.
I want to tell you about iHeartRadio Broadway, bringing you the best of Broadway 24/7, brought to you by Mercedes. Now, this great new station, which I listen to all the time, features all your favorite Broadway shows, plus podcasts hosted by yours truly. Now, there are three ways to listen to the station. You can visit iHeartRadioBroadway.com, or you can search Broadway on the iHeartRadio app or stream the Broadway station on all smart speakers and devices. Do what I do. Say, hey, Alexa, play iHeartRadio Broadway, and you're going to hear the scores from The Music Man and South Pacific, The Sound of Music, Len's favorite, Damn Yankees, all those great Broadway shows. All right, iHeartRadio Broadway. Hey, good morning, everybody. Now, today, Len, is a very big day on Broadway.
Day's opening night on Broadway.
Every March 22nd is a very big day on Broadway.
Yes.
Because March 22nd happens to be the birthday of two of the great Broadway composers of all time. They share the same birthday.
Both. That's ironic.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, well, he's the one. He is the best.
And Stephen Sondheim. Sweetie Todd, the best. My favorite Sondheim musical.
Can I
musical.
Make a confession?
Yes.
All right, let me listen to this other piece of music from Sondheim.
That's Andrew Lloyd Webber, you idiot. That's Jesus Christ Superstar.
You didn't tell me that.
It says Jesus Christ Superstar. Everybody knows Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote that.
Now, how do you compare those two? See, Andrew Lloyd Webber has great stuff. Memories from Cats.
Yes.
The Phantom Song.
Stephen Sondheim has written, Sweeney Todd is considered one of the great American musicals of all time.
I'll just be totally honest with you. I don't get him as much as I get Andrew Lloyd Webber. That's all I'm saying.
Now, you would not want to sort of drift off to sleep to the Ballad of Sweeney Todd? Swing your razor wide, Sweeney, hold
it to the sky. I just don't get his music.
But you know what? That's okay. I don't think that's a problem with that. I mean, you like musicals that are more showy and tap dance and big numbers. And
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But really, but this is music.
I don't know how to love him. Tim Rice, Andrew Lloyd Webber from Jesus Christ Superstar. Written by Steve Sondheim in Len's book.
No, well, I thought both songs were Sondheim that she put up.
Well, they're different kinds of styles.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I love Andrew Lloyd Webber, but I also love Stephen Sondheim. There's a great sophistication to Sondheim.
Give me a song that I would really know from
Sondheim. Sendin' the Clowns.
Well, that's
Isn't
a good
it
song.
Rich?
That's a great song.
Are We a Pair?
Is that his only big hit?
That was his number one hit.
Is that his only big hit?
Have you ever heard of Follies Company? How about this one? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Something familiar,
oh, that's
something
good.
Peculiar.
Oh, I like that.
Something for everyone, a comedy tonight.
Oh,
there we got him. Wow. That's it.
That's Sondheim?
That's Sondheim.
Oh, he's
too.
One of my favorites. I love Sweeney Todd. Now, what's the story with your column this morning? So I'm all excited because you had a scoop that you were telling me about 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And I look for your scoop, and it's not in your column.
Well, because.
And then. I look on page 6. There's your scoop. I was very confused.
Well, the scoop was so good, they moved it up to the front of the paper on page 6 because what happened at the Temptations musical, Ain't Too Proud.
Yeah, which opened last night.
Opened last night to good reviews today.
Right.
But Tuesday was a night the critics came, and there were a group of people. They were sitting in the middle of the orchestra, and suddenly in the middle of the first act, they all jumped up, and they ran up the aisle.
Well, it's not good to show. They were excited.
Well, then people said, what's going on? And then at intermission... They didn't come back. In an intermission, the ushers got down there and they put plastic all over the seats. And then the people came back at the beginning of the second act, but they changed clothes. They were wearing all the merchandise from Ain't Too Proud. They were wearing, My Girl t-shirts and My Girl hats. Well, what happened was a guy in the mezzanine vomited on top of them. During the first act.
Oh, my God. Does that happen often on Broadway?
It's happening more and more on Broadway because people are drinking during the shows and they're getting sick and they're vomiting.
The lights are bright on Broadway. That's great. Yeah. And they're throwing up.
That's right. Anyway, hey, also check out my podcast, Inside Broadway.
You don't even know what it's called, your podcast?
Well, there was a name change recently.
That's right.
So.
Okay. It's called Inside Broadway. Natalie knows where to find it.
It's super easy. iHeartRadioBroadway.com.
Okay. I'll go look for it.
You
now,
do
we
that.
Spoke to Lily Cooper, who is coming into Tootsie,
right.
And give some really interesting stories behind the new show.
Now you know
in.
Why that listener called you a pinhead in tweet.
I've got a lot of things I'm juggling in the air. Swing your razor wide, sweetie. Anyway, check out Inside Broadway, my podcast with Lily Cooper from Tootsie. All right, coming up next, you're not going to believe this accident at the circus. Got a video of it. Really something. You got to see it. First, let's get the news, though. It's 9 o'clock.